Caution. It is important that you consult a physician and a trainer or coach before you begin. You should have a medical checkup before starting any exercise program.
Third baseman's the kind of guy that doesn't necessarily have to have tremendous range left or right. It can be one of your big, strong hitters, yet he's got to have some quickness. He's got to be able to move to his left a little bit. He's got to possess a pretty strong throwing arm. He has, in some cases, the longest throw on the field, trying to make it across on a backhand all the way across the diamond accurately. It's got to be a guy that has the ability to anticipate, can move forward a little bit on a bunt, to be able to think, because he's involved in a lot of different situations, whether it be a steal from second or knowing when to get the bunt or knowing when to tell the pitcher to take the line and different things of that nature. So it's got to be somebody you can count on to be really solid down here to make the routine play. He doesn't have to come up with a tremendous play and go 40 feet to his left to be able to field a ball, but a guy that you're comfortable with and has the knowledge of what's to be done in and around the bag, be able to move his feet and get the job done at third base. Somebody that's rock solid. Six different techniques that a third baseman needs to be proficient at. It's important that you cover them on a daily basis in your practices, or that the player can cover them individually to get very good at these six. If he can perform these six, he's got a chance to be more than an adequate third baseman. We're going to cover a slow roller with a slow runner, somebody at the plate that doesn't move very well, that will allow us extra time to be able to get to the ball and on to first base. What we're going to ask the third baseman to do on this, as we begin to demonstrate with Jake and Micah, is to round the ball off. We want them to move slightly to their right, field the ball in front of their body with two hands, such that when they pick it up, their momentum's headed to first. Here we go. Notice how he rounds the ball off. He'll break down, hold the position, and on to first base. Move to the ball, break down, middle of the body, hold, and on to first base. By rounding the ball off, it places their momentum in the direction of the throw that they're eventually going to make, and it assists us in making a stronger, more accurate throw. Break down. This technique's going to involve a slow roller with a fast runner, somebody that you're confident that can get down the line in a hurry, and certainly that the third baseman is aware of that fact and has the knowledge that he's got to hurry himself up just a little bit. You're going to notice Jake and Micah field the ball off the outside of their left foot as they approach it. They're going to run through the ball and release it. They're not going to stop and break down like they did with the slow roller and the slow runner. Runs through it. Fields outside his left foot, on the run, want to plant hard to the right so we can get a good strong throw off. Fields outside the left foot, throws on the run. This technique involves a bare hand, use of the bare hand for the third baseman. And it's certainly one that can be important for a third baseman. If you get a fast runner and you get a particularly slowly hit ball, it gives you an option in the way that you can field it. And if you have the confidence in your ability to take this ball with a bare hand, it's going to eliminate trying to transfer the glove from the glove to the hand, and also going to buy you some time as far as getting rid of the ball. Always remember that every step that you take extra will allow the base runner to. He's in full stride and you're not. That's a minimum 6 feet. In some cases, depending on height and length of legs, can be even more than 6 feet. Okay, let's take a look at the bare hand. Okay, good recovery. Micah stayed with the ball and probably still got his out. Bare hand, Nice throw on. We can make a tag play at first base for the out. Certainly one of the most difficult plays for the third baseman, if not the most difficult, depending especially on your arm strength, is the backhand, the ball that takes you toward the line and involves an exceptionally long throw, hopefully with something on it. I can remember a third baseman one time saying, a major league third baseman, saying that 90% of the balls he took in practice were other than routine balls, be a slow roller or backhands or the plays that are difficult. And I certainly think that the great third basemen spend a lot of time making the plays that they're not good at in practice so that when they get to ball games, maybe they can become good at it. Let's take a look at the backhand. Nice play. Stay low. Bobbles the ball, but re-scoops with two hands. Still got a chance to throw him out. Third baseman wants to take any ball that he can to his left. A slow roller or a high chopper to the left of the third baseman becomes a very difficult play for the shortstop. So we encourage our third baseman to take everything they can get. If it involves a situation where they can't get to the ball, they'll either run past the shortstop so he can go ahead and field it, or they'll pull up short so the shortstop's not obstructed with them being in his way. So we want to make sure everything they can get, they take. Slide step into the ball. And notice we kind of get a breakdown and a slide step as they move into the ball. Slide, set his feet, make the throw. This is a fairly easy play for a third baseman to make if he can cut it off. And a very difficult play for the shortstop if he's got to try to get to it. You may notice how far the shortstop would have to move in order to make this play successfully, and it's going to require that he make the play on the run, and that's a tough one to make. Great opportunity here to turn to double play. What we ask our third baseman to do in their double play position is to play even with the bag. And you'll notice where Jake and Michael will be set up in just a moment as they run through their double plays. They're going to be even with the bag. Hopefully they'll get the ball. They're going to jab step with their left foot. They're going to open it just a little bit so that their shoulders can square to second base and we ensure that we get that first out. That's it. We talk about positioning at third base. You can certainly set it up in whatever language you like to talk about it, or if you just like to yell out the commands individually, if you're a coach, certainly, or if you're a parent of a youth league team that's helping out, We talk about three different separate locations that a third baseman should play. We can refer to them as one, two, and three, or in a double play depth and back, whatever you like. Michael, let's show the first one. Positioning for a leadoff hitter in an inning, somebody that's pretty fast that you know that you've got a situation where you're going to have to be tight on them or they're going to bunt on you. We want to be up. We want to be up on the grass. Now, the grass in every field's cut a little different, but we certainly want to be up 6 or 8 feet in front of the bag. That will allow Mike an opportunity to get to the baseball and still have a chance to throw the runner out. This is our one position or our end position, leadoff hitter in an inning or a runner that you know that can really move. Okay, let's back it up. Our two position or our double play depth, Mike is going to take his feet and put them on the back of the bag. So we're going to line ourselves up with the back of the bag. This will give him a chance to get just a little bit more room, and yet we don't want to be too far away because we want that ball in his glove and on its way to second base as quickly as we can. That's our double play depth or our two position. Our three position is going to involve playing back right about there, Micah. That's good. We want to get back as far as we can. The runner may not be very quick. He's got two strikes. Any situation that will allow our third baseman to back up and cover a little more ground, that's what we want to be able to do. A lot of that's going to be dependent on how you feel about your arm strength. If you can make a throw from there, great. If you've got a really strong arm, you can make a little bit better throw. We can even get a little further back. But we want to make sure we've maximized our range. We try to prevent balls that go between short and third here by being back as deep as our arm strength with that particular third baseman will allow us. And I might mention something at this time too, and that is positioning late in the game when we have a tight lead. We want to make sure that we go no further than one step and a dive to the line. Where Mike is at is pretty good right now. We want to protect the line late in the game. Nothing down the line that's going to result in a double where the man's now in scoring position. So we'll tell our first baseman, our third baseman, tight to the line late in the game. So again, we've got our one position, which is up, two position, double play, three position back when a hitter's down in the count, and then our line position where we're going to protect the line late in the ball game. Third baseman's got a number of responsibilities in a bunt situation. First of all, he's got to survey the situation and see what we have. There are going to be times when he can charge the ball and times when he's not going to be able to charge the ball. We're going to take first a chance to show you when we would charge. When we get ready to move to the ball, when we get ready to charge the bunt, we want our third baseman to angle himself out just a little bit and go to the right of the ball so when he breaks down, he's got a good, strong setup to be able to throw. His shoulder, hip, and knee are pointed right at his target. We're going to take a look at a charge on the bunt. If you'll watch Jake, see how he rounds the ball off and gets ready to make the throw to first. Go. He's going to charge hard, break down, field, and on to first base. Technique involved here is very important simply because once Jake picks it up, he better be in position to throw it because the guy moving down the first baseline is chewing up yardage the entire time he's running after it. Okay, Jake, let's try it one more time. Go. Breaks down, fields the ball, and on to first base. The other responsibility for a third baseman, when we've got a runner on second base, or if there's runners on first and second, and the potential exists for a bunt, which virtually any time during the game you've seen coaches call the bunt, the third baseman's job is to let the pitcher know that the pitcher now has responsibility to cover the line. Third baseman's going to have to hold due to the fact the man on second is now going to try to advance to third. The only ball that third baseman would be responsible for is a bunt that were to roll past the pitcher where the pitcher just couldn't get to it, and the third baseman will go ahead field and throw on to first. We tell all of our infielders it's never a mistake to get an out. So the last thing we want Jake to do is just go ahead and let us sit there, pick it up and throw it out. So here's what we ask our third baseman to do. Any ball hit into the outfield, straight at the outfielder, or to the foul line, the third baseman's going to be the cutoff man. If the ball takes the left fielder to his left at all, first baseman will be the cutoff man, and the third baseman will be able to retreat back to the bag. And that keeps it fairly simple. If the first baseman can't make it, he's got to communicate with the third baseman and vice versa so that we know who's going to make the cut. The catcher has to know who to line up. Okay? When we make the cutoff, we're going to have Micah turn his body, make sure that he faces where the ball's coming from, and to show a target. Once we raise these hands, the outfielder knows who to look for. Once the ball's in flight, hopefully it'll be a good throw. And as it approaches Micah, he's going to turn his body a half turn, and he's going to receive the ball on his glove side here, so that once that ball touches his glove, it's on its way. You know, it doesn't take a base runner very long to get around the diamond, and as a result, he's got to maximize whatever arm strength he's got by getting rid of the ball in a hurry. And if we can do that, we got a great chance of throwing out runners at the plate. I'd like to reemphasize that anything that you can do on your own that's going to simulate game situations for yourself, it's just going to make you a better player. You don't need a lot of outside forces to be able to help. You don't need a full team around you. You don't even have to have a coach. You just need you and a bucket of balls or maybe someone occasionally to fungo to you or things like that. The harder you work, the better you're going to be. That's the bottom line. Always remember that anytime you get ready to throw, you must first have gone through a thorough stretching program. We're going to work with some of our younger players here in terms of the throwing, but even younger players need to go through stretching. You're going to reach a point where your muscles have developed to the degree that if you don't get stretched properly and go through a thorough stretching program, you're going to end up hurting yourself. You're born knowing how to throw with one arm, at least most people, and unless you can trade that in for a better one, you better take care of the one that you have. Now, the good thing about working with young players in terms of proper throwing technique is they don't haven't necessarily learned any good habits or any bad habits. In many cases, they don't really have a habit. If you can get one young enough where you can teach them the proper technique, you can sure help their arm. If you wait till they're 15 or 16 years old, it's too late, really, and one in 100 is going to be able to make a change to noticeably improve what they're doing to be able to play at a higher level. It has to be done 8, 9, 10 years old, and it has to be worked through. So we're going to work with our younger infielders and make sure that they know how to do it right. Okay, we always want to make sure we take a four-seam grip when we grip the ball. Tom, if you would, hold out a little bit. Four seams across the seams, all right, hands together in front of the chest. An infielder takes what we call a short arm circle. A short arm circle involves never dropping his hand below his waist. We don't want to drop it down in here. That's an outfielder or a pitcher. And we don't want to come here with the elbows. That's a catcher. We want to go short arm circle, give him a chance to gain just a little bit of arm velocity, and yet still make a nice rapid throw wherever he needs to go with it. Okay? That's throwing the ball. Receiving the ball. We want to make sure when we receive the ball that we show our partner our box or our window here. Feet are spread, knees bent just a little bit, and we always want to anticipate a poor throw. If the ball moves Tommy to his right, he just slides his feet and stays in front of the ball, okay? If the ball moves into his left, slides his feet, stays in front of the ball. Above the waist, we're going to use the thumbs coming together to catch it, trap it in. Below the waist, pinkies come together and we trap it in this way. Always using two hands. Take a little pride in the way that you throw. You can actually get something out of this. And I don't care how old the kids are. If they're 8 years old, make them do it right. Because the more you emphasize the right way to do things, the faster it's going to become a habit for any player that you have. Okay, fellas, let's go ahead and get loose. Always anticipate the bad throw. Hands up, catch them with two hands. Notice how they step right to left, left to right. Very nice. That's it. Two hands all the time. They're getting themselves loose. They're not just getting loose here. They're learning how to catch the ball in game situation. Notice how they do it right every time. very little sense in throwing and not working your technique. You can do both at the same time. The way that you throw and the way that you begin prior to the practice and prior to your game is the tempo that you're going to set for the rest of the day. If you're a coach or a parent, demand, don't ask, demand that they do it right. And if that means you have to go down the line with them to get it done, fine, then go down the line with them. But make sure they're throwing and catching the way it needs to be done. Because I'll tell you something, games generally aren't won by overpowering people. They're lost, and they're lost because you can't pick up a ball, you can't throw the ball, you can't throw a strike. This is where you learn how to win ball games, right here. Three-part throwing drill is a drill that allows us to isolate parts of the throwing technique at a time and put it back together in some meaningful fashion. You'd be surprised how many older players need some help with their technique in throwing. We just want to take advantage of what we have. If we can pick up a couple miles an hour by gripping the ball right, if we can pick up a couple miles an hour by making sure we get a good glove tuck, we want to do that. And by slowing things down, backing up, and doing it one at a time, it allows us to be able to do that. Brian's going to help me here with regard to our techniques. This is our break position. You'll notice that we're into the scarecrow position with the arms. This arm's out and flexed just a little bit. This arm's flexed just a little bit. Fingers are on top of the ball. Glove is turned and facing away. This is going to allow us to isolate and work just strictly on the glove tuck. Which if you watch players, if you go to a Little League diamond, if you go to a high school field, and you watch how many give you a glove tuck, bring that glove back into the body, you're going to find less than half do it properly, maybe even less than that, depending on where you're at. So this is our chance to teach how to do that. And we do this with high school players. It's great to do with 8, 9, 10-year-old kids. This is our break position again. Break, Brian. That's our break. And from here, I'm just going to say throw. When I say throw, Brian's going to bring that glove back to his chest. He's going to get the arm into a 90-degree angle and make the throw to his partner. Ready? Throw. And you'll notice that he gets a nice follow-through. He's going to finish up. Okay, feet spread, at least shoulder-width apart. Break. Throw. Notice his grip on the ball. Break. His fingers are on top of the ball. He also has a four-seam grip. Throw. Tucks the glove and a nice follow-through. Break. Throw. Again, we're just isolating that glove and allowing it to come back into the body. That's an extra 2 to 4 miles per hour if you learn how to do that properly as opposed to if you don't do it at all. Break. Throw. We also want to make sure that Brian's looking down the gun barrel. He's got that glove pointed directly at his partner, and that's going to increase his accuracy when he does release the ball, not to mention the velocity he's going to pick up with that glove tuck. A part two of the drill will be to take it from the break position and work backwards. We're going to work to what we call a ready position. Hands in front of the chest, hands here. When I say break, we're going to take a small step with our front foot and we're going to split our hands back into that scarecrow position. Break, throw. So what we're doing is just inching our way back to a normal throw. Ready, break, throw, and a nice follow through. Ready, break, throw. The third and final portion of this drill is what we call ready and throw. We're going to put the whole thing back together again without any stops. There'll be no stop in between, no break position on this one. He'll go back through the glove tuck, but he's not going to stop this time. Ready, throw, out and back in a nice normal throwing technique. This is a great way to teach young players how to put their throwing technique together one step at a time. Ready, throw, out and back. Again, we want the players concentrating on getting that glove facing backwards and making sure they pull back hard to allow their arm to increase the velocity. Ready, throw. Very nice. Again, step-by-step approach teaching people how to throw the ball properly. And although the technique may differ from position to position, The drill never changes, and we can work regardless of whether you got a catcher throwing the way he throws or an outfielder like Brian throwing the way he throws. We can all do it together and all do it at the same time to help teach that glove tuck, a nice release with the hands to make sure that the technique we hold the ball with is what we need, and to put that whole thing back together step by step. Parts to fielding a ground ball. We do it at high school, we do it at the college level, we do it with little league players, you can do it with whomever you have, but it's important that they understand exactly what they're supposed to do. Part number one, we ask that our infielders, Brent's going to help me, we ask that our infielders get some momentum or some movement. We call this a creep step. For a right-handed infielder, it's nothing more than taking a small step with his right foot, small step left foot, and opening his hand. You ready? Creep, right, left, open. He's in position right now to run to his left, he can run to his right, he can go backwards, he can go forward at a dead sprint. Doesn't need to stop, doesn't need to stand up, drop down. He's whatever he needs to go, wherever he needs to go, he's in position to do it. After he gets his creep steps, part number two, we charge the ball. Rarely in a high school setting or below do you have a situation where you don't charge a ground ball. When you get to college and they hit a little bit harder, or if you happen to be a high school third baseman where you're real tight on the play, that's a little bit different. Or first base for that matter, but for the most part you're going to charge the ball. Okay, we're going to add, we're just going to do building block. We're going to go creep, and then we're going to add in a charge. Ready? Creep, charge, stop. Okay, all right, back up, Brent. On the charge, we want to come at the ball under control as quickly as we can. We don't want to overrun the ball, because when we get there, we have to set up to field the ground ball. All right, we're going to add in part three. So we got creep and charge so far. Part three is what we call our breakdown position. That's our position in which we're going to begin to field the ball. Okay, ready? Creep, charge, breakdown. On our breakdown, you'll notice that Brent has his feet a little wider than shoulder width. His head's down. We're going to show the top of the hat. His right hand is on top, his glove's on the ground, and it's extended in front of him. Okay, stand up and relax. It's important that we extend the glove in front of us so that we can cradle the ball or cushion it as it comes to us. And we go right hand on top for this simple reason. Those of you that played in the infield recognize this is a problem. When we're playing with little guys, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, the normal reaction to a ground ball coming at you is to do this. We turn the head. Well, the reason we turn the head is because we're afraid we're going to get hit in the face. I think everybody has that fear. At least at some point in their life, I know I sure did. In order to correct that fear or to take care of it, we take the right hand and put it on top this way. If we happen to get a bad hop, we can take the hand and keep that ball away from our face. The second thing that that does is it allows us to trap the ball in the glove. We call that our alligator, right here. That's our alligator. Bad hop, hand comes up, good hop, alligator. Part four, we're gonna go from our breakdown to a fielding position. Ready? Creep, charge, breakdown, he'll hold it. Now I'm comfortable with his technique, field. He'll bring the ball to his midsection, he'll cradle the ball in, and he's going to show me the top of his cap. Okay, relax. Simple enough. Now we go part five, which is our throw. Okay? And this is exactly how we teach it. Ready? Creep, charge, breakdown, field, throw. Right to left, left to right. Back up. So the fifth part, we're going to take that right foot, and we're going to step inside the left, square our shoulder to our target, shoulder, hip, and knee, and make our good strong throw. I can do this with 15 kids, one player, 10, it doesn't make any difference. I can do it just like this. Ready? Creep, charge, breakdown, field, throw. Very nice. Let's do it one more time. Creep, charge, breakdown, field, throw. Okay, good enough, Brent. As I tell outfielders or any position on the infield, anytime that you take a step more than you need to in order to get the ball out of your glove or to do whatever it is you have to do, you're giving the base runner two steps. Two steps to a base runner, especially at the high school level, equates to at least 6 feet. And boy, that's something you don't want to do. How many plays do you see at first base that are closer than 6 feet? The first drill we're going to do is what we call chop steps. This is our effort to make sure that the kid's technique, right, left, backward, at an angle, is always good and always what we need. We don't want to take any extra steps, because when a ball's hard hit and it's to the right or to the left, we got to get there and get there in a hurry. So Mark's going to head them through the chop steps, and I'll come in as they get going. Go ahead, Coach.
Creep. Chop.
Notice how they move their feet and they're into their breakdown good position. The nice backhand.
Creep. Chop.
Now they're going to go to the crossover step, getting the nice breakdown position, making sure that the head down, watching the ball in.
Good.
They come back. You can do this with any number of players that you have, whether it's 4 or 8 or 10 or however Creep. Many you can.
Chop.
Now we got a ball a little deeper in the hole. They're going to take an angle on it.
Good.
Notice how their heads are down, the gloves open. We want to make sure we follow the good technique rules on our backhand.
Creep. Chop. Good.
Good. See how they set up at the same time. Footwork's always the same. Even though we got some different age groups kids, they're still setting up at the same time.
Creep. Chop. Good.
Charge the ball. We run through these 5 rotations, to the right, to the left, backward angle right, backward angle left, and then forward for the ball that's coming right at us. That's a chop step drill. We start out each practice with it. If it's just a couple minutes a day, boy, it's a good reminder for kids and how they're supposed to move to the ball. And that's what we're going to do here. We're just going to take a ground ball and roll it and make sure that our technique is good. And the way that the coach is going to ensure that is he's going to have them to stop when they get into their breakdown position and hold it for 1 second. If there are any problems with it, he can at that point instruct what we need to do different, and then he'll say go. And when he says go, then they'll go ahead and feed the ball back. You can go 2 lines. Notice how he stops.
Go.
Shows a button on the cap. Next guy comes up.
Creep. Stop. Go.
When he says go, they're free to release and throw the ball back.
Creep. Stop. Go.
They've stopped themselves in their funnel position.
Stop. Go.
Look at the hands extended out in front. Anytime you bobble the ball can run up the arm and you can trap it in the chest, and at least we have an opportunity to throw somebody out. The hands have to be extended and out in front.
Great. Go.
This is our Texas Leaguer drill. This is a drill that helps us improve our foot quickness in terms of going after balls that are behind us, whether it's to our right, to our left, straight back, doesn't make any difference. Anytime that you can force somebody to move as fast as possible in a drill, it's going to simulate what happens in a game. You get a ball hit down a left field line, down a right field line, where an infielder has to really charge hard to go get it. The important thing here is not to take any wasted steps. If the ball's hit over your right shoulder, you want to drop step to your right side, and you'll see the guys do it in just a minute. Ball's hit left, you stop, step left. If you end up taking extra steps, it's going to cost you in terms of being able to get to a ball and either catch it or set up and catch it properly. We don't want to have to make it any tougher than is absolutely necessary. Coach is going to start us here, and we're going to watch the guys. They'll start out pretty easy.
Mind, mind, mind.
They'll call everything. We call it again, mind, 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 in everything that we do.
Mind, mind, mind.
Tommy took the wrong step one direction. We can make that adjustment. Perfectly all right. You're going to see that happen consistently. That's why we do it.
My.
You'll find that if you'll just hesitate long enough to ensure that you go the right direction, you actually get to the ball faster than if you take off running and go the wrong way. Try our best, and our challenge is to go the right direction.
My.
Notice how Adam drop stepped to the right and went and got it. As they get decent at it, we're going to stretch them out a little bit.
My.
Anytime we go to the right side for a right-handed infielder, we want to go backhand.
My.
Texas Leaguer drill, push them as hard as you can, make them work, and boy, I tell you what, by making them work, they're going to get the balls that you didn't believe that they could ever get to. If you just cut out the number of steps that are unnecessary, put in only the necessary steps, move as hard as you can on a daily basis in practice, either with your team or individually, boy, we're going to get a lot better on these balls, no question about it.